to order. Messages from the House.
March the 5th, 2008, from the House of Representatives. Message number 278, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 31, Domestic Violence Counseling Period, ayes 60. Senate File 54, School Finance Rebated Recapture, ayes 54, noes 6. Senate File 83, Retirement, Rehire Retirees, ayes 60. Senate File 84, Fireman's Pension Account Amendments, ayes 59, noes 1. Senate File 24, Health Insurance, Clinical Trials, ayes 60. Senate File 29, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program, ayes 60. March 5th, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 276, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 26, Business Entities, Registered Agents. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, noes 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. From the House of Representatives, message number 277, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 27, County Nuisance Abatement Authority. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 42, noes 18. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. From the House of Representatives, message number 279, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 60. From the House of Representatives, message number 280, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 47, Wyoming State Training School Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 60. From the House of Representatives, message number 282, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, noes 1. From the House of Representatives, message number 283, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 65, Post-Conviction Relief Petitions, DNA Evidence. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 60. From the House of Representatives, message number 286, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 12, Dispensing Rooms, Products Sold. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 2. From the House of Representatives, message number 289, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 70, School Finance Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excuse 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Okay, bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor first?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, the floor is yours.
I'd like the Senate to help me welcome a former member of this body, Senator John Perry, and who is now a district judge, and his daughters.
Hey, hey!
President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, Judge.
I'd like to meet my daughters, Lauren, who goes to the University of Wyoming. She's a sophomore. Joanna is a Gillette Camel. They're the sports guys. I was relieved, Mr. President, to come here to find that we were back on the original Senate timetable that existed when I first got here with Senator Geist when he was president of the Senate. Starting at 10, ending at 11, starting at 3, ending at 3:30. It worked out about right, and it is so wonderful to be back here with you, certainly. It's wonderful to be able to bring Lauren and Joanna, my eldest. Alex lives on the East Coast now, and Alex was a month old when I came to this body in January of 1985. And so Lauren was 4 when I left. And like I mentioned, Jerry Geist was here. Charlie Scott was here. My good friend Hank Coe, trying to keep Hank out of trouble during those days was absolutely as monstrous as a task as it is now and more because he was younger. While certainly I enjoy and am honored to serve in a capacity as a district judge, trial judge in this state, know and understand that as I look back on my professional life, on my professional experiences, I look with my greatest pride on having been a member of this body, of having had the honor and the privilege of being a senator of the state of Wyoming. We look at the pictures on the walls around us, and they assure us, they assure me, of the continuity of this great state, of the policies that are in large measure the heart and soul of that which defines all of us here. And so, Mr. President, in these final days of this budget session, I wish you all Godspeed in your conference committees and the rest of it. Know that for all of you here, more than you would think, the hearts and the minds of the people of the state of Wyoming are with you. God bless our state. God bless our republic.
Thank you, Mr. President. The consent list today is House Bill 10, State Parks and Historic Site Fees, House Bill 12, Veterans Mental Health Appropriations, House Bill 43, Penalties for Domestic Violence, House Bill 52, Developmental Programs, Cost-Based Reimbursements, House Bill 69, Revisers Bill, House Bill 74, Veterinarians Loan Repayment Program, House Bill 82, Trauma Care Services, House Bill 83, District Court Judge Increase, House Bill 85, Brucellosis Testing Program, House Bill 92, Property Tax Refund Program, House Bill 102, Quality Child Care, House Bill 113, School Finance, Minimum Teacher Resources, House Bill 117, Developmental Preschool Funding, House Bill 127, Prescription Drugs, Physician Shopping, House Bill 151, Tax Relief Program Amendments, House Bill 155, Recruitments of Physicians and Dentists, House Bill 169, Contract for Public Improvement Bid Requirements.
consent list is House Bill 10, State Parks and Historic Sites, Fees, House Bill 12, Veterans Mental Health Appropriations, House Bill 43, Penalties for Domestic Violence, House Bill 52, Developmental Programs, Cost-Based Reimbursements, House Bill 69, Revisors Bill, House Bill 74, Veterinarian Loan Repayment Program, House Bill 82, Trauma Care Services, House Bill 83, District Court Judge Increase, House Bill 85, Brucellosis Testing Program, House Bill 92, Property Tax Refund Program, House Bill 102, Quality Child Care, House Bill 113, School Finance, Minimum Teacher Resources, House Bill 117, Developmental Preschool Funding, House Bill 127, Prescription Drugs, Physician Shopping, House Bill 151, Tax Relief Program Amendments, House Bill 155, Recruitment of Physicians and Dentists, and House Bill 169, Contracts for Public Improvements, Bid Requirements. Would any senator like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Senator Scott.
House Bill 92, please, the Property Tax Relief Amendments.
House Bill 92, Property Tax Refund Program. Any other bills to remove from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 10, State Parks and Historic Sites, Fees. House Bill 12, Veterans Mental Health Appropriations. House Bill 43, Penalties for Domestic Violence. House Bill 52, Developmental Programs, Cost-Based Reimbursements. House Bill 69, Revisors Bill. House Bill 74, Veterinarian Loan Repayment Program. House Bill 82, Trauma Care Services. House Bill 83, District Court Judge Increase. House Bill 85, Brucellosis Testing Program. House Bill 102, Quality Child Care. House Bill 113, School Finance, Minimum Teacher Resources. House Bill 17, Developmental Preschool Funding. House Bill 127, Prescription Drugs, Physician Shopping. House Bill 151, Tax Relief Program Amendments. House Bill 155, Recruitment of Physicians and Dentists. And House Bill 169, Contracts for Public Improvements, Bid Requirements. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Vecht.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 10, are there any changes? Coe, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Jennings, aye to no.
Larson, aye to no. Closing.
Perkins, aye to no.
Townsend, aye to no.
Anderson, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 10, 21 ayes, 9 noes. House Bill 12, are there any changes?
Case no to aye.
Case no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 12, 30 ayes. House Bill 43, are there any changes?
Case
no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 43, 30 ayes. House Bill 52, are there any changes?
Case
no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 52, 30 ayes. House Bill 69, are there any changes?
Case
no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 69, 30 ayes. House Bill 74, are there any changes?
Burns,
aye to no. Mockler, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Von Flateren, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. DeCaria, aye to no. Job, aye to no. Co, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 74, 19 ayes, 11 noes. House Bill 82, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 82, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 83, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Co, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no.
President Schiffer, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Vasey, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 83, 21 ayes, 9 noes. House Bill 85, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 85, 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 conflict. House Bill 102, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 102, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 113, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 113, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 117, are there any changes? Massey, I have conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 117, 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 conflict. House Bill 127, are there any changes? Case no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 127, 30 ayes. House Bill 151, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 151, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 155, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Job, aye to no. Mockler, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Coe, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no.
President Schiffer, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 155, 20 ayes, 10 noes. House Bill 169, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 169, 29 ayes, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 10, State Parks and Historic Sites Fees, House Bill 12, Veterans Mental Health Appropriations, House Bill 43, Penalties for Domestic Violence, House Bill 52, Developmental Programs, Cost-Based Reimbursements, House Bill 69, Revisers Bill, House Bill 74, Veterinarian Loan Repayment Program, House Bill 82, Trauma Care Services, House Bill 83, District Court Judge Increase, House Bill 85, Brucellosis Testing Program, House Bill 102, Quality Child Care, House Bill 113, School Finance, Minimum Teacher Resources, House Bill 117, Developmental Preschool Funding, House Bill 127, Prescription Drugs, Physician Shopping, House Bill 151, Tax Relief Program Amendments, House Bill 155, Recruitment of Physicians and Dentists, and House Bill 169, Contracts for Public Improvements, Bid Requirements, have all passed the Senate. House Bill 92, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 92, Property Tax Refund Program, sponsored by the Revenue Department, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I ask this be pulled off the consent list. Mr. President, I'm going to vote no on this bill, and I wish to take just a moment of the Senate's time and explain why. Mr. President, our constituents have a great need for property tax relief. The property values in the state have been going up and up and up. The best figures I have is that it's in the vicinity for residential property of 30% in the past couple of 3 years. And that, because of the way our tax system works, means a big tax increase for those people. Now, in our system, the proper remedy for such a thing is to reduce the assessment ratio. But and provide really a broad-based tax relief. And there were a number of measures in the House that one way or another would have provided a broad-based tax relief, and we decided to defer and see what they sent over to us, and this is what we got. And it is sufficiently narrowly drawn I don't see how we could have broadened it into the kind of tax relief that's needed. So I intend to vote no, really as a protest against our inability as a legislature to have dealt effectively with this particular problem. I don't urge any of the other members to do the same. It's up to you. This bill, I'm sure, will do a few people some good. It is basically a welfare program. It's got a means test in it. I think that's demeaning. I don't think it answers the need for the relief that all of our constituents have. So, Mr. President, that's an explanation. Let the Senate vote the way it will.
Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, I can understand the frustration with the property tax situation in Wyoming and where we're going. I think also the Revenue Committee, you know, had looked at this in the past and had had a huge tax force go out and look at it. And we weren't really able probably to bring it forward all of the recommendations and all of the solutions people would have wanted. But I do not want you to vote no on this bill, and for one very important reason. The program you see before you is a program that we've had in place for a number of years. It may not have been fully utilized. And we know we have to work on that part. But if you do not vote for this bill, the program goes away completely because the current program sunset on January 1st of this year. So by not voting for this bill, you eliminate one of the best means tested, as though I know we don't all like that. It is a means tested program that goes away if we do not do this. And it really does provide substantial relief. And if you look at the assets that are excluded, it's pretty significant. But it also, for instance, in Teton County, the median income gave you a $1,700 tax break. In Goshen County, which had the lowest one, it gave you a $400 tax break. If you brought in the information and sent it to the state of Wyoming, you weren't sending it to your county clerk, your county treasurer, you had the option of sending it to the state where no one would see it in your local community, very much like you do the IRS. No one sees that in your own community. So I hope when you think about your frustration that we didn't get all the way to the point that you wanted to with property tax, that you don't vote no on this bill completely out of frustration, because, again, you will be eliminating what is probably one of the best and most creative programs that we do have.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I share the frustration of the senator from rural Natrona County, but I'm going to tell you I don't want the program to go away. Is it real meaningful? No. That's all we've been able to get in my 14 years down here to try to address the problem that particularly the people that have been in their homes, the long-term Wyoming residents, particularly those in need, have ever had. Let's not let the program go away out of that frustration, though I share it for sure. But it does meet and help some people. I think it's appropriate that it does pass because there are spots in the state where this is significant, folks. I mean, it really is. And it isn't the new people moving in and paying whatever for their homes. They can sure afford to pay it. If they can't, they shouldn't have bought the home. But it's the long-term Wyoming residents that this really helps, and I urge us to vote for it so the program can continue.
Further discussion. Question being, Senator Case.
Mr. President, I think this is probably a good program. It's one we've had in the past. It hasn't been used as well as it should have been, and maybe it will be in the future. My objection to this incident bill, I don't want you to think that it's exactly the old program carried forward. I think the asset test increasing to $50,000 per person in the household is too big. And it has pushed me over the edge on this bill. So I'm a no for that reason. And I did try to amend it, but was not successful. I think $50,000 in assets after the home per person in the household is huge.
Senate File 92, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Fecht.
Aye.
Geist.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
House Bill 92, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 92 passes the Wyoming Senate. House Bill 137, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 137, Castle Doctrine, sponsored by Representative Qualberg, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have three amendments. The first amendment is third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 137, the case amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 137, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy. Delete the Scott et al. Second reading amendment.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 137. Mr. President, this is in essence the same amendment I brought yesterday. It is in a divisible form, so we can discuss a couple issues separately. But, Mr. President, mainly what this amendment does is in the first part of the amendment, it says it deletes the Scott Amendment that we had yesterday. But if you notice very carefully on lines 7 through 19 of my amendment, it reinserts the identical language that the Scott Amendment provided to 61204, which is immunity from civil action for justifiable use of force. So it puts that back in and accepts it as the Scott Amendment did yesterday. With regards to 62602, which is the use of force in self-defense, Mr. Chairman, it brings in the concept that we discussed yesterday of necessary or apparently necessary, which is the other balancing factor that exists in Wyoming common law, which has two elements, self-defense and necessary. Mr. President, this brings in both pieces together, and as you will see, it does so by creating a three little I under Section A, which says the person who uses defensive force uses such force when it was necessary or apparently necessary under the circumstance. The requirement of this paragraph does not create a duty to retreat from one's home or habitation when attacked therein. And, Mr. President, that is exactly what our common law has, and it's based on several cases. I've provided the cases to people that were interested, but one in particular is State versus Sorrentino. Mr. President, also, in terms of when you're away from your home, and that's embodied in our engrossed copy, page 4, lines 12 through 19, it changes that language to read, this is the entirety. A person who is not engaged in an unlawful activity and who is attacked in any other place where he has a right to be has no duty to retreat
and has the right to stand his ground and meet force with force, including deadly force, if it is necessary or apparently necessary to do so to prevent death or serious bodily injury to himself or another. That brings it all together, Mr. President. We should not fear that. We should not fear having that in our law and our citizens having that ability to know. Because the common law is not a tool for the citizen. Codified law is. Mr. President, I trust our citizens. I trust our armed citizens. I think of these terrible tragedies that have happened in no-gun zones around the country, and I think, what if there would have been people there to stop that? Citizens carrying weapons legally and there to be able to save lives. And that's what I think really is the heart of the matter, Mr. President. I trust our citizens. I trust the good gun owners of Wyoming. I trust the people that have concealed carry permits. I look at this building and I think, am I safer now? Because this is a gun-free zone, and someone downstairs has to run up a flight of stairs if something happens in this chamber, God forbid. Or am I safer if I can rely on my good citizens here and the good citizens up there that might protect me, the good doormen? We're safer with an armed citizenry, Mr. President, and we're safer with this codification so they know how to use their weapons that we have allowed them to carry.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On against the amendment, of course, folks know that part of the provision that we have the hardest problem is not addressed by this amendment. But, folks, you also have to realize this, and that is there's a concept in law that we say, plead not what you need not, lest you be required to prove it. So when you make a pleading, you don't plead something that you don't need to plead in order to make your cause of action. Otherwise, you might have to prove it when you don't need to have to prove it. You create a hurdle for yourself that need not be there. The common law in Wyoming is an extraordinary liberal application of the Castle Doctrine. And I'm reminded today of the utilization of that doctrine in the case that you all remember. There was a high-profile case where there was a sheriff in Sweetwater County that was transporting a prisoner and shot the prisoner right between the eyes in the back of a police car. And using this self-defense, that was a successful defense to that event. We have an extraordinarily liberal Castle Doctrine. And before you want to go start tweaking and to adjusting our existing Castle, our right to self-defense, which is, and I shouldn't say Castle Doctrine because we're well beyond that. That was not in the Castle, that was in the backseat of a patrol car. Before you want to go start tweaking and the existing common law that's available to everybody in Wyoming, you need to look at every single word you put in. And when you start putting it into text, you also have to realize that you're narrowing the Castle Doctrine or the right to self-defense. And as you put it into words, now every defense must come within the language and the words that you use. And if you sit down, I can think of instances that would be where you would want to use this defense where the facts fall outside of these words. And the notion here is that our common law is not sufficient, and we need to codify it. And I submit to you that this narrows what we've been using as self-defense, as a defense, and the Castle Doctrine. Now, that's not true for the subsection C on page 5, which we've all talked about. But taking that provision out, this language would actually make some defenses more difficult. In the effort to try to articulate it, and to put it into words, you in effect narrow the defense.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Rising on and reluctantly against the amendment, and I can give you some a little bit more information about exactly what the good senator from Laramie was talking about. This is out of a case. One of the problems I have with particularly the language in the middle of the amendment, it's kind of the meat of it, which talks about the person who uses defensive force uses such force when it is necessary or apparently necessary. So you know what that is. It brings back what's called the doctrine of necessity, and this is out of Bear versus State, which is a 1995 case. And when you're talking about necessity, you're talking about a very specific legal principle. And the legal principle essentially is, and self-defense arises out of the doctrine of necessity. Necessity is that even under certain circumstances, what you may have to break the law in certain circumstances because it's necessary to do so. Self-defense is one of those instances. Another one is you're freezing in the mountains, lost in the mountains in a cabin, your car breaks down, you're freezing in the mountain, your car has broken down, and you break into a cabin to save your life to get warmth or food. That's a necessity. You can't be excused from that breaking and entering and that burglary because it was necessary for you to do that. And you can think of other things. And so the law recognizes that. And what the good senator from Albany County is saying is that when you do that, is this is what happens to you. Reading out of that Bear case, it is necessary for the jury to determine whether a defendant reasonably perceived a threat of immediate bodily injury under the circumstances and whether the defendant defended himself in a reasonable manner. So what you're talking about here is you're creating a jury instruction. You're creating an absolute burden of proof that what you did was absolutely necessary. And so while I applaud the spirit of the amendment and appreciate what he's trying to do, my concern is we're pulling back a doctrine that was talked about and discussed in 1922 when he talked about necessity. And our law of self-defense has evolved beyond necessity. It is now its own law of self-defense. And by bringing necessity back into it, I'm really afraid that we may be taking a step back and having the unintended consequences where now you're going to be required to prove that it was necessary, to prove those things, because that's going to now be an affirmative defense on your part. And I have a lot of concerns about that. We may actually be marching backwards instead of forward. And so reluctantly would ask you to defeat this amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, as I understand my legal colleague from Natrona County, for whom I have a great deal of respect, basically what we're trying to do with this amendment is take a Model T part to fix an F-150. Mr. President, I think it's a bad idea, and I urge the defeat of the amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, when we originally started with this bill, I did have a little heartburn with C, and I think it was because I didn't read it word for word and put it all together. And I think the good senator from Lander brought us an amendment that further defines it in light of court decisions. And I think the whole purpose of this bill was to codify some of the common law. And I think the good senator from Lander has brought an amendment forward as basically a compromise between what we did with the Scott Amendment and the bill as it came over from the House. And from that perspective, Mr. President, I think it would be probably prudent to adopt the amendment and have it leave the body in that form and get on with the bill in that form. I think that the House may approve it, although it's quite a ways from where they started. It does appear to offer somewhere a bit of a middle ground and further defines it. So I would ask that you vote for the amendment.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Senator Case, for your second time.
Mr. President, a couple things from Wyoming case law. It is not the law that one assaulted in his own house must retreat, provided he can do so without increasing his own danger, before he may lawfully re-resist, even to the taking of the life of the assailant. It is unquestionably true that the law does not permit one who is assailed to take life unless it is apparently necessary under the circumstances. Another one, the right to kill is based upon the law of necessity or apparent necessity. Life may be snuffed out in the fraction of a second, but can never be restored. The doctrine of the right to protect one's habitation gives no moral right to kill another unless necessity or apparent necessity for purposes counted by the law exist.
Question is, on third reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 137, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 137 has failed to pass the Senate. Third reading, amendment number 2 to House Bill 137, the Ross-Perkins Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 137, third reading, amendment number 2 to engross copy. Delete the Scott et al. Second reading amendment.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading or third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 137 and ask you to favorably consider this amendment. I bring this amendment in the true spirit of compromise. Whereas I think that perhaps the previous amendment went backwards in terms of codification, I believe that this amendment is a compromise, and without it, we may not have any bill. What does this amendment do? It accepts and adopts the Scott Amendment on page 2, places a period there after the word force, and the balance of that paragraph is deleted. That was problematic language for law enforcement on lines 3 through 8. It then brings back into the bill our common law, which is the Castle Doctrine per se, the defense, the use of force to defend oneself in their own home or in protection of themselves or their property related to their home. It brings back all of the balance of page 2, 3, 4, over to page 4, line 7. It places a period after the word duties and takes out the balance of that language in Romanet 3, which was problematic once again for law enforcement. And problematic language here on the floor as we discussed this bill on first and second reading. It does not bring back in paragraph C. So what it does, ladies and gentlemen, is it codifies Wyoming's common law. The paragraph C, as discussed previously, is not Wyoming's common law. And while the defense is available, what I am suggesting to you is that this is a true compromise and one in which we'll have a bill that we can rightfully go to our people and say, we have respected your wishes. Because when I hear from all of my constituents and yours, they are concerned about their home is their castle and the protection of themselves, their children, their property. When somebody breaks and enters or comes into their home or attacks them in their home. And that's the Castle Doctrine. And that's what we should be adopting here today. So I'd urge your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And for discussion, and my concern is for the same thing that we just talked about. If we didn't have the language on page 2, lines 13 through 16, which says, the common law shall govern in all cases not governed by this article, And my concern continues to be the same, and that is the common law in Wyoming is very broad. And to the extent that you begin to articulate it, you narrow it because you can't, you now create additional requirements to put forward the defense. If we had taken that language out, now I understand it, the notion is as well, if it's an incident is not covered by these facts, then common law governs it. But what happens in those borderline cases where the automobile case, that's a self-defense, it's not a castle doctrine. Are we abrogating that defense? We're going to have folks that argue, yes, we intended to abrogate it. If you begin to look at the language, if we didn't have that, if we say this supplements the common law, I wouldn't feel so badly. But by definition, to the extent that you are now asserting the defense that is now articulated in this language or on the fringes of it, the common law is gone and you must resort to the statute. And unless you can say with confidence that this new language incorporates every defense under the common law that's available to you, then don't adopt it. And maybe the proponent of the amendment can give us that confidence. Yes, this language is as comprehensive and as broad as the common law in Wyoming, which is extensive and it's broad. Now, we could go back and say, if this is broader than the common law, then you get it. And if it's narrower on the common law, you still get the common law. We could draft a bill that way, but it's not what's providing here. So I just urge caution. I'm interested to see what the response is.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I too would ask us to use a degree of caution here. You know, we're dealing here with a bill, as I understand it, it's a bill that's intended, been drafted by a national organization, intending to protect certain rights. And it may make a lot of sense in a jurisdiction where those rights have been greatly eroded, as they have in some jurisdictions. But in this jurisdiction, we pass the provisions that this amendment brings back in on pages 2 and 3 and 4, are we narrowing? Because we have been very liberal in the sense of allowing protections for self-defense. Are we, with what we're doing, actually narrowing what we've got and making our circumstances worse? Yes, we'll allow that national organization to say we've got the same law in every state or many states, but is it really something that's appropriate for a state that has the kind of legal tradition that we do, where we have continually recognized in our criminal law the Castle Doctrine and the right of self-defense?
Further discussion, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, in at least in partial answer to the good senator from Albany's question, I don't believe that I can stand up here and tell you, from having looked at this and having done a not extensive research, but some research on this particular topic, that indeed this Castle Doctrine is as broad as the common law is existing with respect to defense of your home and family. This is what I do believe, is that over the last several days, as we've debated and discussed this bill, I've had a number of conversations and correspondences back and forth with a number of people in my district. Some of them belong to the national organization, some of them don't. But they're not. They're my neighbors. They're the guys that live down the street and around the corner. And we've exchanged emails about this, about what the amendment does, what it doesn't do, the risks of having the common law codified and not codified, and what we potentially narrowing it. And uniformly, the concern I get back is that they don't know what the common law is. They're uncomfortable with the fact that it's common law, and they want to know where they can go in the statute and find and know what they can and cannot do. Now, I think when you look at the statute and read that, you may still not know when you're done, but you'll have a better idea than trying to figure out what's in any number of cases that are out there. And so while there potentially is a narrowing, there's a trade-off of letting an ordinary citizen know what they can and can't do with respect to the defense of their home versus some of the more liberal doctrines or more the fringes of what may be available in defense in the common law right now. But at least, and I think this goes right to the heart of what the engaging senator from Fremont County said just a few minutes ago, is it's important that they be able to know. It's important that a common man be able to go to the statute and figure out what it is they can and can't do. And that's what I've been hearing over the last several days from my neighbors. And I would ask you to consider that as you vote for this amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, and I understand that, but you know, most of the people that are very interested in this area are well informed of the law. And all you've got to do is look at the cases that we've circulated. And the national organization that is writing out to constituents could easily say, by the way, here's the common law. And we get to an interesting instance here where, as my colleague from Natrona County says, is that you have a piece of national legislation, which in many instances is much broader than, or much narrower than our existing Castle Doctrine. I use the example of the sheriff with the, I said it was a prisoner, actually my colleagues reminded me it wasn't a prisoner, it was an undercover police officer, self-defense, and he was acquitted on that charge. And so in Wyoming, we have recognized and really extended broadly both self-defense with respect to your person and with respect to your property. And so then the question that I've heard is, why don't we simply go codify the common law, take the case law that people have been reading and put it into statute? And the reason is because when it's in case law, as you come upon new circumstances, you can say it ought to be broadened. This application ought to occur. But when you put it into statute and you say this now abrogates the common law, it substitutes for the common law, it is now our statutory law, courts are then confined to interpret this language within the parameters that you've just articulated in your statute. And why would we want to do that when we have courts in Wyoming who are prepared to give us the broadest interpretation available and yet use common sense?
Further discussion? Senator Jennings.
The way we get our statute is from the common law. If you go back to before we had any statutes in Wyoming, or even in the United States, the laws that were developed from our European ancestry followed us over. And we started to decide, we have to write this down someplace, and we have to say, this is what we think, and this is what we have to do. That's what we're doing here. If we want to follow common law and decide that everything that we do with common law, then all of us should go home. Because at that point, we turn common law over to the judges and the juries and everybody else out there in the legal system and say, you guys go out and decide it. What we have here is we have a piece of common law that has followed us in here, and it wants us, you know, our people want us to say, it's time now, put it to where we can read it. That's how we get the statutes. That's where we find an area that we narrow in on and decide this is what we need to do. I don't see anything wrong with that. And I'd also like to address the reference to this national organization. As a co-sponsor on this, I haven't talked to this national organization. And talking to the prime sponsor, she hasn't either. Now, if they're out there doing this, and we all know they are, that's fine. But this bill, and hopefully this new statute, was developed by looking out there and by talking to our attorneys at LSO and by working forward on this and developed it and by talking to the people. I think this amendment that is up right now is a good amendment. I think my friend from outer Natrona County basically drained the moat and backfilled and it's gone. I think at least this amendment here, we've got the moat about half full of water, and we were able to go out and find at least one alligator to throw in it. So I think we're there. I think this amendment is going to do what we need to do to get this on and take it into statute. If we have a problem with that one piece, we can come back and revisit next year. We do that all the time. I don't think that that's a killer on this. I think it's time that we move forward. I'd hope that you would vote yes on this amendment, and let's get this thing out the door.
Senator Bebo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would urge you to vote aye on this amendment. And as I listen to the arguments by the gentlemen in the legal profession in this body, it strikes me that they can both eloquently argue in favor or against. And certainly when we leave this body, we'll be able to see that situation occurred. In my lifetime experiences, that's the way things usually work. And when I go back home to Fremont County and I want to talk to my constituency, I want to be able to tell them that rather than talking about case law in 1890 or 1922 and all these things, I want to say, here's what we have passed, or at least had an opportunity passed, and here's what it says. Now, you can argue that that may not say exactly what we want, and you can argue about common law all day, but I would submit to you that you can argue both ways all day long. One thing's for sure, we do have a bill in front of us, and if you vote for this amendment, we have some language back in there that each and every one of us can read and understand to the best of our abilities and be able to go back and say, this is what we did. Doesn't mean it's going to be right, doesn't mean it won't be challenged. But at least we know in our own minds our position on this and how we feel about it. There's some great arguments said. I haven't heard anyone say that we shouldn't have the Castle Doctrine, that's for sure. I haven't heard anyone say we shouldn't have the extra parts of this bill. What we're talking about is codification or not. I also remember me standing up and saying, well, maybe we shouldn't codify, and I lost that argument. So it just depends on which argument you're making. Today it's because of this particular thing, but in this case, I think we ought to try to codify them. I think we ought to pass this amendment. We have something in our hand to take home and say, this is what we voted on.
Further discussion? Question is, on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 137, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 137 has passed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 137, the Hastert Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 137, third reading amendment number 3 to engross copy, delete the Scott et al. Second standing amendment.
Senator Hastert.
Second reading.
Mr. President, I wish to withdraw that amendment at this time.
Hearing no objection, the amendment is withdrawn. House Bill 137, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Wyoming Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines? Jennings,
aye.
Job,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
Closing vote, closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
House Bill 137, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 137 does pass the Senate.
House Bill 153, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 153, Economic Development Account 2, sponsored by Representative Lockhart, and Act relating to economic development. Be it passed by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
As I understand this, House Bill 153, Economic Development Account 2, because it affects the permanent funds, it requires a two-thirds vote. Any discussion on House Bill 153, Economic Development Account 2? House Bill 153, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas? Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Job, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
House Bill 153, having received a two-thirds affirmative vote of the members of the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 153 does pass the Senate. Okay, we can, what have we got? We are at that order of business of signing enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number 33.
Senate Enrolled Act number 33 being original Senate file number 53, an act relating to public funds.
Enrolled Act, I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 33 being original Senate file number 53. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 34.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 34 being original Senate File 56, and Act relating to water development projects.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 34 being original Senate File Number 56. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 35.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 35 being original Senate File 31 and Act relating to domestic violence.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 35 being original Senate File Number 31. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 36.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 36 being original Senate File 54 and Act relating to school finance.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 36 being original Senate File 54. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 37.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 37 being original Senate File 83 and Act relating to the Wyoming Retirement System.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 37 being original Senate File Number 83. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 38.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 38 being original Senate File 84 and Act relating to the Fireman's Pension Account.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 38 being original Senate File Number 34. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 39.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 39 being original Senate File 24 and Act relating to insurance.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 39 being original Senate File Number 24. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 40.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 40 being original Senate File 29 and Act relating to the Wyoming Public Library Endowment Challenge Program.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 40 being original Senate File Number 29. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 41.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 41 being original Senate File 5, an act relating to criminal offenses.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 41 being original Senate File Number 5. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 42.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 42 being original Senate File 28, an act relating to public funds.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 42 being original Senate File Number 28. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 43.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 43 being original Senate File 38, an act relating to descriptive terms for persons with cognitive deficiencies.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 43 being original Senate File Number 38. I have so signed. and Enrolled Act Number 44.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 4 being original Senate File 42, an act relating to courts.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 44 being original Senate File 42. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 28.
House Enrolled Act Number 28 being original House Bill Number 48, an act relating to state loan and investment board loans.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 28 being original House Bill 48. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 29.
House Enrolled Act Number 29 being original House Bill Number 57, an act relating to Homeland Security.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 29 being original House Bill 57. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 30.
House Enrolled Act Number 30 being original House Bill Number 109, an act relating to telecommunications.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 30 being original House Bill 109. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 31.
House Enrolled Act Number 31 being original House Bill Number 98, and an act relating to professions and occupations.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 31 being original House Bill 98. I have so signed. House Bill Number 30, Enrolled Act Number 32.
House Enrolled Act Number 32 being original House Bill Number 6, an act relating to the State Veterans Museum.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 32 being original House Bill Number 6. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 33.
House Enrolled Act Number 33 being original House Bill Number 3, an act relating to campaign finance reporting.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 33 being original House Bill 3. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 34.
House Enrolled Act Number 34 being original House Bill Number 75, an act relating to the legislature.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 34 being original House Bill 75. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 35.
House Enrolled Act Number 35 being original House Bill Number 135, an act relating to standards for petroleum products.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 35 being the original House Bill Number 135. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 36.
House Enrolled Act Number 36 being original House Bill Number 133, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 36 being original House Bill Number 133. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 37.
House Enrolled Act Number 37 being original House Bill Number 141, an act relating to civil procedure.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 37, being Original House Bill Number 141. I have so signed. Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 2.
House Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 2, being Original House Joint Resolution Number 10. A joint resolution requesting Congress to support the Local Radio Freedoms Act.
I am about to sign Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 2, being Original House Joint Resolution Number 10. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 38.
House Enrolled Act Number 38, being Original House Bill Number 33, and an act relating to taxation and revenue.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 38, being Original House Bill 33. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 39.
House Enrolled Act Number 39, being Original House Bill Number 86, an act relating to local governments.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 39, being Original House Bill 86. I have so signed. And Enrolled Act Number 40.
House Enrolled Act Number 40, being Original House Bill Number 136. An act relating to motor vehicles.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 40, being Original House Bill Number 136. I have so signed. Senator Mockler.
Mr. President, while you guys are all paying a lot of attention to things, you have two things on your desk. One is the Race for the Cure brochure fill-out form. Last year we lost by $2, so you guys really need to ante up this time so we get first place instead of our perennial second place, which would be nice to go out for me to go out with you guys going out in style. The second thing you received this morning was a memorandum explaining our art donation policy, and it has attached to it a brochure that we put together with the State Museum to begin our process of having art donated to the legislature or loaned, because we will also take loans of up to a year, that will begin the process of putting in real art in both the chambers, then both the lobbies, and then eventually out onto the floor of the second floor of the Capitol. So we want you to take this home and tell every former legislator that they should donate a large work of art. We'll even let them put their name on it. And so I hope you will take this home and encourage people. I think it's a wonderful thing for us to highlight Wyoming, because the art is supposed to be a Wyoming landscape, or even one with people in it, a little bit of people. But I hope you will appreciate that it will fill this space beautifully, and I would ask you to donate, loan, and turn in your Race for the Cure form.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Members of the Senate, due to a scheduling conflict, for Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Success Curriculum, the conference committee will be Senator Massey, Senator Nicholas, and Senator Scott. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, what we have left are some concurrence reports. I'm not sure what your timeline is. All things considered.
Mr. President, I know some people have accepted the invitation for 5 o'clock to be at Little America. since they've already went ahead and went to that expense to get the bus and lunch, it would be nice if we could accommodate them. If there's some that, if you had a couple or so that was critical that to get a conference committee started, perhaps we could do them, or if not, I'd suggest we wait till 10 a.m.
Senator Burns.
May I have privilege of the floor, please? The
floor is yours, sir.
Mr. President, I have no idea whose constituents these are, but I think we should give a rousing welcome to the kids up in the North Balcony up here. Hi!
We'll pull it out. I think we'll... Welcome, kids, and enjoy your tour of the Capitol. Senator Coe, are you ready on message 289, Senate File 70, School Finance Amendments?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in message 289?
March the 5th, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 289, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 70, School Finance Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I move message number 289, concurrence requested on Senate File 70, School Finance Amendments, and ask the body to vote aye. Now, if you look at this concurrence request, you're going to say, the House has been busy down there. Well, let me tell you what, they have been busy down there. A lot of the stuff they started out doing ultimately came back and was put back in the Senate form. They did, however, do a couple of new things that I happen to think are pretty good, and the Department of Education thinks is pretty good. At the bottom, you'll see Section 503. They create a grant program for districts, community colleges, and UW to develop distance education programs. That's pretty much all Section 503 does. Paragraph B talks about the process to be administered by the superintendent. You go over to the second page, you'll see the application process for school year 2009-2010. Awards shall commence May 1st, 2009, and awards granted no later than August 15th, 2009. Paragraph C talks about the report to the superintendent that each grant recipient has to do by November 1st, 2009, also to the Joint Education Committee. Paragraph D in this new program comes in where the state superintendent funds the program out of the school foundation program account. My understanding is that's about $500,000. The next change that you'll see, Section 505, is just where Department of Ed can do rule and regulation. Page 47, line 44, is where we come back into the groundskeeper provision that was taken out originally. We put this back in under the McComey Amendment to solve some of the problems that we have with Lander and Jeffrey City. Down at the bottom here, page 2, you'll see the long amendment that deletes page 37, line 6, through page 43, line 15. This deletes entirely the food service part of Senate File 70. Now, don't be disturbed, because we're going to fix that, okay? You go over to page 3 of the report. Page 24, line 21 through 24, delete entirely. This is where they took out the funding for school facilitators. But not to worry, we're going to fix that. If you go down to the middle, you'll see Senate File 7, delete the Teachers Committee, the whole amendment. That's where we put the food service back in. That's about a $4 million program. At the bottom, you'll see it in the gross copy, page 3, line 9. That actually gets taken out, so we don't have to pay attention to that. It's still like the Senate had it. Top of page 4, you'll see where it says, delete the Harshman Committee, the whole amendment. That's where they put the facilitators back in. So we're back at the Senate position. Page 4, lines 13 through 17, that just goes in and takes out the Dirks Amendment that I talked about earlier. Then at the bottom of page 4 is another new program that they came in and put in. It's Supplemental Financial Assistance Pilot Project for Student Enrichment. This just goes through the process of doing that. It seems like a good program to me. Department of Education liked it. If you go over to page 5, you'll see where they appropriated $450,000 to do that. And that's pretty much what happened. Except for those two new programs, the bill is exactly or close to being exactly what it was when it left the Senate. Urge the Senate to adopt the concurrence request on message number 289.
Discussion on message 289, Senate File 70, School Finance Amendments. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm just curious as to the, these are probably pilot programs, if they are, I'd like to know that. And then if there was any discussion that you've heard from the other side of the Capitol about if they were fully implemented, what the possible cost could be in the future. I'm kind of concerned on a third reading amendment in the second house, putting new programs in, not knowing what the full implication of what those costs would be, and I'd like to have a little more of a comfort level on that or at least some information before we leave.
Further discussion? Senator Bebaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just an add-on to that is if these programs were good ideas, were they discussed during the interim, and did the committee vote them up or down?
Further discussion. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. With regard to the two programs that they got so much discussion over there, the food service program and the instructional facilitators, they got a great deal of consideration during the interim and were contained in the original bill. I think the only thing that was really added in was the last part with regard to an enrichment program. There is funding in there, but it's only a pilot program in order to determine how this would look. And the information would come back to the interim committee to look at. And obviously nothing would get enacted or anything appropriate until the entire legislature looked at it. But it is starting off at a very modest pilot program, 3 schools for $450,000.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 3 schools, could you give us an idea about the enrollment in those 3 schools as far as how we could compare that to the total enrollment of the state to look at the $450,000 to where that might turn into $45 million or just what it might be?
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Cole, for your second time.
Well, Mr. President, I can't tell you what 3 schools are talking about. All the schools out there can apply. I think if you read the amendment, it says they can apply for the pilot project. Whether or not it'll turn into $45 million from $450,000, I can't answer that either. But everybody seemed pretty comfortable with the amendment, particularly the Department of Education, and it is a pilot project, and I can try to find out more answers for you if you like.
Question is, on message number 289, the concurrence requested on Senate File 70, School Finance Amendments, and the chairman has asked you to vote aye. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dicaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted the concurrence request on Senate File 70, School Finance Amendments. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears this desk.
Mr. President, I move the Senate be adjourned until 10 a.m. on Thursday, March 6th.
Announcements, Senator Case.
Mr. President, they took the bait. And your committee, a conference committee on State Retirement Board Immunity, Senate File 9, newly armed with lawyers, will be ready for combat sometime after 10:30 in the morning, probably an S-19 as soon as we get a break from these here festivities.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. On a more mundane announcement, the second and free conference committee for Senate File 18, Business Entities Revisions, hopes to meet in H-18 when both sides have adjourned.
Further announcements? Question is, the motion is that the Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Senate is adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.